Into our second hour. What's going on? Welcome back. My name is Jim Rome. I'm live. I'm in Southern California, and I am broadcasting from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can very quickly. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, that is your rundown. Sam Pittman coming up. Telephone number is toll-free nationwide, 1-800-636-8686. But as promised, we are joined right now by a Super Bowl champion, a two-time All-Pro, a five-time Pro Bowl selection, 35 career INTs, tied for most among active players when he retired, 10 pick sixes, fourth most, in NFL history. He was an All-American at Kansas. He is an NFL analyst. He is the host of the Catch and Fades podcast. He is Aqib Talib. Aqib, it's good to have you on. How you doing, man? How is your life right about now?
It's good, you know. A whole lot of football watching, so I'm enjoying it.
That's good, man, and they pay to do it, so that's a good thing, too. Let me ask you, you are entering your second year as a broadcaster. You're also a podcaster right now, so you've got platforms and you've got opinions. You called your shot before the start of the season, and you predicted that Josh Allen would be the league MVP. He did not have the best game yesterday. Overall, though, what have you seen from him that makes you think that he's going to have another big season?
You see those guys who can – who got full control of the game. They got full control of their team. So you usually don't see that until, you know, guys are 10 years in or, you know, later veterans, right? They usually had that feel. But Josh Allen definitely has that feel. And he got a huge arm, and he got a great offensive coordinator, and he just surrounded by weapons.
We're talking to Aqib Talib. Did you see anything yesterday that makes you feel any different about that? Or, man, that'll happen. That'll happen, especially against a good defense.
Yeah, that'll happen against a good defense. You remember Pittsburgh started off 11-12-0 or whatever. So they got a great scheme. They got a good scheme. And, you know, that's just your first full-speed action. I mean, preseason is one thing, but that's your first real full-speed action of the season. So I think Buffalo will be just fine.
You know, I think it's a fair point. You never know. Week one is definitely a different deal altogether. Aqib Talib is joining us. Also, you made the point that Aaron Donald is going to be the defensive player of the year. Listen, we know that this is a great, great defensive player. As a great defensive player yourself, when you look at Aaron Donald, what is it about him that sets him apart from everybody else?
He's just stronger than everybody he plays against. He's quicker than everybody he plays against. He's faster than everybody he plays against. And he probably works harder than everybody he plays against. So it's going to be hard to beat that guy. If I lined up against a guy, Jim, and he was just quicker than me, faster than me, stronger than me, he worked harder than me, it's going to be hard for me to beat him. So those are just the facts. And it's just going to be hard to stop Aaron game after game.
Aqib Talib joining us. Hey, well said. Now, you just made the point that if you line up against a guy who does that, this is what's going to happen. Aqib, what happens when you line up with a guy like that? For instance, what does that mean for the rest of the defense? How does that impact your job to have Aaron Donald playing up there in front of you?
It makes it easier for us because, first of all, we know Wednesday, Thursday, Friday had a lot to do with Aaron Donald. So you got a game plan for him and blocking schemes. How are we going to block him? And then you may forget how you're going to block another guy or how you're going to block this guy. So everybody around him going to benefit because the team has to pay so much attention to him. Nobody else on that D-line is getting double-teamed. And as a DB, you know the ball going to come out fast because even the double team can block him for 3 seconds. So you know the ball is going to come out when you're playing man coverage. You know it's going to be disrupted when you're playing zone coverage. So be ready to break in zone coverage and know it's coming out fast. And man coverage is how it'll help a DB.
Aqib Talib is a Super Bowl champ. He is an NFL analyst. He's a podcaster, too, right now. Listen, what about the other side of the ball? You were on the call for the Rams in the preseason. What did you see from that offense with Matthew Stafford, and how do you expect that to carry over into the regular season? Like, how good can that Rams offense be with Stafford?
Well, we didn't see any of the Rams offense in the preseason, but I know a little bit about it. I know a lot of those guys. I watched the Rams, and that O-line is in sync. Matthew Stafford is super accurate down the field. And that offense is a machine when it gets going. So they got kind of hot yesterday. I think they'll win the division definitely. But I'm excited to see a healthy Rams team in the playoffs. That's what we ain't really seen. That's what we didn't see last year. But I'm excited to see a healthy AD, a healthy Matt Stafford, a healthy cast of guys in the playoffs. And I think they can compete with anybody.
See, that's key. Health is going to be a key for them and everybody else, obviously a key. But what about, like, not that these guys aren't the ultimate pros, but do you get the sense maybe that Stafford and Sean McVay both have a chip on their shoulder to show everybody that they can win big and maybe win the entire thing and make their point?
They definitely do. I was in the building with Sean every day, man. That's one of the most competitive guys I ever been around. So I know he got a chip on his shoulder. He done been in the playoffs damn near every year since he's been on the team, made it to the chip. So I know he just got that taste for a victory. He want to be the best. So I know how Sean is feeling. And just, Matt Stafford is a vet, man, and he never really, you know, got to make his name in the playoffs. So he feel like he got the supporting cast to do it now. And his window is not that huge anymore. So I know he's trying to get it done as well.
Aqib Talib doing what he does, breaking it down for us. Now, before the start of the season, you also predicted that Tom Brady and the Bucs would win the whole thing once again. Aqib, as somebody who won a Super Bowl, how hard is it to repeat? And what have you seen from Tampa Bay that makes you think that they've got what it takes to get it done?
Well, it's super hard to repeat. And the main reason is because everybody on the team is a hot commodity. You usually lose some key pieces to your team, but that's the one thing that Tampa was able to do. They was able to bring back everybody. So they accomplished the main goal. You know what I'm saying? The thing that messed teams up the worst is you lose people. We kept all our people. Now you just need guys to, you know, not be in France and Italy partying, you know what I'm saying, the whole offseason. And I think the Tom Brady effect take care of the rest of that.
Aqib, what about that? Like, you make such a good point. Like, you want to make sure that guys, that once they win that whole thing, that they're putting in the time, they're doing the work. But then again, when you get to the top of the mountain and you spent your entire life getting there, there's got to be a big part of you that does want to go to Italy and party and enjoy it because you earned it. So how do you get guys not to give in to that and to put that off as long as they can and stay on that grind?
Man, you really... It's really the leadership, I think. I think guys is going to have fun. You're going to party, of course. But when it's time to work, you just got to be there. Everybody got to be there. Everybody got to be locked in. And I think if Tom Brady shows up, it's hard for everybody else not to show up, right? So they got the best leader in the game on their team. He going to show them the way physically, emotionally. He going to show them the way. And he got a, you know, a nice staff over there, a nice team. It's a solid team over there, man. And I think they want to do more than just win one chip. They want to win as long as they got time because they know time window is not huge. So, you know, they're trying to get it all while they can.
Aqib Talib is joining us. Like, dude, what about that window? Like, what do we make of this guy's window? Father Time is undefeated. We know that. But how do you explain this cat still playing at that level when he's 44? How do you explain his window?
Man, it's second to none, to say the least. But Tom, man, he put the time in into his body, and you see what he's getting out, man. He's one of the most hard working guys that I ever been around, and he's definitely getting blessed. So, the biggest window ever.
Aqib, what do you make of that? Like, that point you just made that he's putting his time into his body. I'm kind of curious, like, what do you think about that mindset? Like, does he really enjoy that work, that process, and eating all that crap? Or does he like the way winning feels so much more that that stuff doesn't bother him? Like, is he making sacrifices and paying a price and it's hard? Or does he actually like doing that?
Man, once you do it that long, I think you just... It's just part of you at that point. It's routine now. So if he didn't like it before, I think he's probably bought into it now. Like, if I do this throughout the off season, throughout the year, I get these results at the end of the year. And he's done it so long now, and the results have been so good. I think it's just part of him now. He used to it.
I love that response. I think that's exactly what that is. I hadn't really thought about it like that, but I think you're right. I think that's just he's always done it, so you don't think about it. You just do it, and then you see the results, and then you don't question it. Now, you were in Canton, Ohio for Peyton Manning's induction into the Hall of Fame. I'm curious, what was that experience like for you?
Man, it was wonderful. A beautiful experience just being around all the Hall of Famers, all the future Hall of Famers, and, you know, just guys getting their flowers while they're here. The speeches was great, and the vibe was just good, Jim, man. It was my jaws was hurting by the end of the night from laughing and smiling so much, man. I heard great stories. It was probably a top five event I ever been to in my life.
Wow. Aqib Talib is joining us. All right, so I mentioned a few of your numbers off the top. You've got some serious stats that put you among the all-time greats. Do you ever think about getting fitted for a gold jacket of your own and going into the Hall of Fame?
Definitely, dude. That's one of the goals. When you're young, I always said I wanted to be rich. So then, you know, had to narrow it down a little bit. It's a lot of ways to do this. Okay, so I like this football stuff. And then once you start playing football, okay, I want to be the best. I want to be a Pro Bowler. I get that. Then you want to be an All-Pro. Then you get that. You win the Super Bowl. So then you start thinking like, damn, what's after that? And, of course, it's that gold jacket. So you start comparing your numbers to other guys. And I always think about it, Jim. It's the only award I could win now that I'm not playing, right? So I still want to win, still competitive. So I always think about it.
I mean, Keep, is there, like, kind of explain that to me. Obviously, that's a very exclusive club and fraternity. Guys know, right? Guys know who have that jacket, and guys know who are on the outside looking in. Like, what's it mean to have that jacket and be in that club?
I think that's that's like the ultimate stamp on your career, I think, as a personally. You know what I'm saying? Not like a team, a championship or anything. Just personally, most of the guys who in the NFL or in the Hall, they probably dreamed of playing football when they was young. They probably dreamed of being the best. And I think when you're done, you're 40-something years old, and boom, you got that Hall of Fame, man. It kind of stamped you as one of the best guys to play the game. So I think that's the ultimate goal, personally, for all players.
All right, so Aqib, I mentioned off the very top that you're hosting the Catch and Fades podcast, and I just want to give you a quick opinion. Like, lots of people have podcasts right now, and then you've got guys like you who play the game at a really high level, and you have insight to share that are doing podcasts, and that's really a good thing. But you still got to work at it, and you still have to promote it, and you still have to do the legwork, and you do those things, which I really respect. Now, I'm blown away by this. I need you to dial me in. I think about this guy a lot, and I haven't talked about this guy, or I haven't talked to this guy in a number of years, but Josh Sitton used to come on this program, man. I always, always loved this guy, loved his game, and you're having him on this week. I've got to know, what is your connection to him? What's he doing, and what are you guys going to talk about? I love that you're going to have him on.
Oh, yeah, Josh Sitton, man. Well, first of all, we both in that 08 class, so, you know, we made a couple Pro Bowls together, man. I think we was at the Alumni Awards one time. I got DB of the year. He got O-Lineman of the year at the Alumni Awards one time. So we hung out a few times, man. We know each other. And, you know, he retired now. I just wanted to see what he was up to. He's just farming, man, you know, having a good time, enjoying retirement like myself. It's going to be a great interview, man. Y'all should check it out, Catching Fades. I think it drops today or tomorrow. Today is Monday. It probably dropped tomorrow. I think it dropped tomorrow. But, definitely, man. It's a good time. We reminisce. He brought up a story that I forgot about, Jim. A rookie symposium story, man. So it's a great conversation. It's a great interview.
Dude, he's a good dude, right? He is a funny dude.
Yeah, he is, man. Great personality.
All right, so make sure you check that out. That's the Catch and Fades podcast. Find that where you find your podcasts. Aqib, man, I appreciate you very much. Dude, it's always good to talk to you on my podcast, on this show, whenever we can. Thanks so much for doing that. Good luck with it, and I hope I can run you down again during the season.
Likewise, Jim. Appreciate it.
Much appreciation. Much respect. Aqib Talib. He's good, dude. So good to talk to you. That when I saw that he was having my guy, Josh Sitton, former Packer, on, I thought that was awesome. I have not heard that yet, but like he said, that will probably drop in the next day or so. Make sure you look for that. He is an NFL analyst and host of the Catch and Fades podcast, and Aqib is making it look easy. He's doing a really nice job. 1-800-636-8686. My guy, Josh Bob. He's funny. I'm Jim Bob. He's Josh Bob. Haven't talked to him in a while. Man, God, I used to get such a kick out of him, and I think about him a lot still yet. I just have not spoken to him. So what's he doing now? Farming? Just farming? It's a good life, man. All right, still ahead. If you want to call the program, I could get you on the air. If you want me to do all the work like I always do, I can do that too. Totally up to you. Coming up at 10:40 Pacific time, 1:40 Eastern time, the head football coach at Arkansas. We're talking Arkansas football. Sam Pittman. Cam Sutton, top of hour number three. And your telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. O'Reilly Auto Parts is here to keep your car on the road with the right parts and advice from their professional parts people. So when it is time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. If it's tools you need, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. Ask about their free loaner tool program. There is no need to purchase a tool if you're only going to use it once. Just pay a refundable deposit at the time of rental. Your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store has more than 80 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, they're convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service. From the professional parts people that you know you can trust, stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome.
Another big sports weekend coming up. I mean, I know it's only Monday, but how do you not look forward to the weekend? When you consider that Saturday, 3:30 Eastern and 12:30 Pacific, the SEC on CBS features a marquee matchup in the Swamp. Number one, Alabama, taking on number 13, Florida. We get you set for kickoff starting at 2:30 Eastern and 11:30 a.m. Pacific with the Mercedes-Benz drive to Atlanta. Then you catch up on all the action from around college football on State Farm College Football Today. That's all coming up on CBS on Saturday. Going to be a really good day. So how good is Aqib Talib? Really enjoyed that. Some other reaction. Danger Donnie 925 tweets, fake Rex is sewage.
That's sewage.
Dear Jaime, I'm having some issues. On the one hand, you have Ben Mezrich basically calling the clones brain surgeons, and then you have idiots sending in haikus that are not haikus, and they call them haikus because they type them in three lines. Please help. Steve in SA. Steve, you're a pretty smart guy. I mean, ask you. You're constantly posting about all the trappings of your wealth. Why are you having trouble with that? That's actually very easy to answer. So you're conflicted. Why is Ben Mezrich treating the clones and acting as if they're brain surgeons? Because Ben Mezrich's like the best guy ever. Ben's just being nice. Ben's just being Ben. Ben is such a good dude. Ben, before Ben started doing books that sold millions of copies that immediately turned into major motion pictures, he was already an awesome guy. And then he started doing that, and he's still an awesome guy. And he strangely actually believes that the clones have something to do with his success. That's why he treats them like brain surgeons. He's just being nice. As far as these so-called brain surgeons not being able to execute a haiku, that's also not surprising. Many of these people can't even utter a single sentence, much less take three and put it into a certain format, 575. You can't just take three random sentences that are like 9, 28, 14, and call it a haiku to make your point. Just make your point then. Hey, Rome, the fake Rex, just as in the case of the fake silk, is always better. The fake Rex is number one in the number two game. Aaron in Iowa. I'm not even going to respond to that. At 115 USA tweets, Jameis doesn't prepare for questions in a boat. He prepares for questions in a boat.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
Signed, Eric in Orlando. 1-800-636-8686. Sam Pittman's coming up at 10:40. He is the head football coach at Arkansas. We move Cam Sutton, who's a cornerback with the Steelers, to the top of hour number three. So, like, with everything going on yesterday, like Cleveland, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, to name a few things, the last thing that I thought that I'd be talking about today, honestly, was Jacksonville at Houston. Honestly. But I've got no choice. Like, I have to. Not like Herb, the alleged savior, is leaving me any choice at all. He's the last dude that I want to be talking about after a great opening weekend. But per usual, he leaves me no choice. Yesterday morning it started when Jason Lockenfora dropped a piece on CBSSports.com about Urban Meyer, and it did not go well for Herb. Let me read from the second paragraph, and I quote, "There have been repeated issues with other coaches on staff with Meyer's temper and lack of familiarity with the ebbs and flows of the NFL calendar, rubbing the Jacksonville Jaguars staff and players the wrong way," the sources said. It goes on, quote, "There is a disconnect at times between the members of the staff with extensive pro experience and those who lack it, and morale has suffered as the outbursts have continued. His fiery remarks to players and coaches after games have already struck many as bizarre," end quote. All that going on, and they haven't played a game that mattered yet. Never good when you're hearing about a head coach's temper and lack of familiarity with how the NFL works. That's not a good sign when you're an NFL coach, nor is it a good sign that his comments to players and coaches have, quote, struck many as bizarre. And there's more. How about this quote from one source with direct knowledge of daily operations in Jacksonville? Quote, "He has everyone looking over their shoulders already. He becomes unhinged way too easily, and he doesn't know how to handle losing even in the preseason. He loses it and wants to take over the drills himself. It's not good," end quote. Not good, or below not good.
Below not good.
Below not good, or extremely horrible. Having words like bizarre and unhinged being among the adjectives that people use for you is brutal. Especially when you were considered the alleged savior and the guy responsible for turning around the entire operation and saving that region of the country. And if people around you are saying that this guy gets unhinged over losses in the preseason, that's really not a good thing. As another source said, quote, "You can't freak out about preseason games and belittle your coaches on a staff that you handpicked every time things don't go your way. It's not going to work here," end quote. Because that is the absolute opposite of ownership, right? The one thing you demand of everybody around you, but have absolutely none yourself. But here's the thing. I'm sure that Herb's few remaining supporters will say, "Hey, Rome, come on, man. We know this guy's a control freak. That's his deal. That's his brand. And of course, he's not used to losing. He never has before. And if he does his job right, he will not have to endure very much of that in the NFL either." I mean, you can tell me who cares about a guy freaking out over the preseason, and that's how you develop a winning culture. But what you want, like, what do you want? A coach who's good with losing in the preseason? No, you don't want that. You can tell me this guy is one of the greatest football coaches of all time, and he's got a quarterback of a generation, and that it's going to work. Just wait until this guy gets to the regular season before you rush to judgment. He's got a track record. He's got a generational quarterback. Give this guy a little time. At least let him wait, or at least wait until he gets to the regular season. All right, I'll do that. And here's what I have to say to you. Houston 37, Jacksonville 21. Here's what else I have to say to you. That's sewage.
That's sewage.
The Texans were playing without their franchise quarterback. The Texans seem to be pretty clearly looking to tank. The Texans had one of the worst defenses in the NFL last year, and they just took the Jags to the woodshed. Man, it was bad. How bad? They were up 27-7 at halftime. They eased up in the second half. They had that game in hand, and they eased up. That's how embarrassing it is if you're Urban Meyer, a crappy Texans team. Won that horse race geared down. That was a hand ride from Tyrod Taylor because the Texans were coasting in the second half. They took their foot off the gas. Here's the worst part about this for the Jags and their fans. The Texans were better prepared. I repeat, the Houston Texans were better prepared. Urban Meyer, one of the greatest to ever put on a headset, just got worked by David Culley, who's a first-time head coach. It's not just that the Jags didn't play well. It's that the Jags were a complete and total mess. Totally undisciplined. Totally unprepared. I mean, it's not just that Trevor Lawrence threw three picks. It's that the team was penalized for breaking the huddle with 12 men. That they lined up incorrectly. That they had terrible penalties at bad moments. That they committed twice as many penalties as the Texans. Remember how crappy the Texans were last year? The Texans got the ball back on their own 31 with 37 seconds left in the half, and they completed three straight passes, and then they did this.
Here's the snap to Taylor. Pressure. Taylor throws underneath. Hits Amendola. Takes it across. Rock and roll. Touchdown, Houston. What? Taylor to the Highlander. Danny Amendola.
That's amazing.
Texans radio. Didn't Amendola sign with him like 5 minutes earlier? They went 69 yards in 29 seconds. That's not supposed to happen, and it's definitely not supposed to happen if you're playing the Texans and you're coached by the alleged savior and legend, Herb. The Texans have been mired in controversy and horribleness for a while. They've been a walking joke around the NFL, yet they spent the entire day laughing in the Jags' grills. Jacksonville, meanwhile, didn't look any different than the team that went 1-15 last year. In fact, they may have been worse than the team that went 1-15 last year. Imagine winning one game, picking a generational quarterback, hiring the alleged second coming of Vince Lombardi, and somehow looking worse than a team that was one of the worst teams ever against another one of the worst teams ever. That's not easy to do. But Herb just pulled it off because, again, this was not a team or a game against an elite team. In fact, they were facing a team that was supposed to be even more jacked up than they were, a team trying to be what they were themselves or what they were last year. Absolute sewage. Bad enough to get the first pick. They don't care. They don't want to win. They just kicked your ass up and down the field, and they really don't even care if they win. They really don't even want to win, and they still manage to humiliate Urban the Jags. And you know me. I have always, always defended Tyrod Taylor. But I never once said he was the second coming of Joe Montana. Yet Herb and the Jags sure made him look like it. And what's going to happen to Herb and this defense when they have to face top-tier QBs this season? Because they will. And they just made Tyrod Taylor look like a Hall of Famer. So bottom line, if Herb was becoming, quote, unhinged and freaking out on people after preseason losses, what was he like after yesterday's loss? I'm surprised he even came out for the second half. If you had told me he would have spent halftime sitting on a golf cart, dejectedly eating pizza the way he did after losing to Michigan State, I would have believed that. I would not have been surprised if he spent halftime printing up resignation letters to post in everybody's locker and then magically found a family contract that he had written up with his kids that said he needed to spend more time with them and not with the Jags. And this guy hates losing. Does that team look like a team that's about to start winning? Imagine the next 16 weeks with this guy. Again, I'm not going to jump to any conclusions after only one game. Or say that he's a bust or a disaster as an NFL head coach and that his methods won't work. I'm just going to say, man, that was a horrible debut. Horrible debut. They didn't just play badly. They seemed like they didn't know how to play. Ill-prepared, poorly coached, totally undisciplined. And that on the heels of a report that already he had lost his staff and his players. And one last thought, I'm running over, but I got to make this point. Was this not the guy that spent all that time studying the pro game? Talking to his former players who had turned pro to learn what works and what doesn't work in the NFL. Is that all we heard about this guy? Yeah, well, now he knows what doesn't work in the NFL. Pretty much everything he's tried so far. Coach him up, Herb. Coach him up, if you can, because what you did could not have gone any worse than it did.
Totally trashed.
When we come back, Arkansas head football coach joins me, Sam Pittman. Here is your sports update. That's true. I am Jim Rome. I am live. I'm in Southern California. Well, you want to talk about a statement about Arkansas beating number 15 Texas on Saturday, 40-21. Now, there is a statement. We're joined by the head football coach at Arkansas. Second season with the Razorbacks led them to that big win. They are 2-0. They're number 20 in the AP poll. They are hosting Georgia Southern on Saturday evening. Sam Pittman is my guest. Sam, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing so great. Thank you a lot for asking me to come on your show.
Sam, thank you very much for coming on this show. Boy, I'll tell you, there's a lot that I want to talk to you about, but why don't we start with the fact that you had the ninth largest crowd in program history at your place on Saturday night with Texas coming to town. What was the atmosphere like in that stadium before the game, and then how did you go about making sure that your guys did not get too hyped?
Well, it was incredible. It really was. It started with the hog walk, and they were, I don't know how many, 15 rows deep. It was incredible, the atmosphere. And simply because of the old rivalry between us and Texas and the passion that our guys have for the Hogs. But it wasn't hard, really, Jim, to keep them focused because we'd had such a good week of practice, and we talked about very simple ways of winning, and it's physicality and not making mistakes and holding on the ball. Those things you can do each and every week. And so the kids, they were ready to play, though. They were swarming to the football.
Sam Pittman joining us. I'm glad you mentioned, Sam, physicality, because I wanted to ask you about that. You're facing number 15 Texas, and you dominate that game. You get out to a 33-7 lead in the third quarter, rushing for 333 yards on the ground for the game. As a coach who has his roots on the offensive line, how proud were you of the line and the way they controlled the game?
It was incredible. We have a new offensive line coach, Cody Kennedy, and he was a grad assistant of mine when we were both at Georgia, and he's done a phenomenal job with this group. We had five starters coming back, so that certainly helped us. But, you know, as an offensive line coach and a head coach, and you're rushing for 7-plus yards a carry, it's an incredible feeling. It's very hard to match the feeling that you have, and that is just, hey, we're going to run it, and there's not a whole lot you can do about it type feeling. And I was so proud for him and the offensive line and the running backs.
Yeah, it's one thing to win that thing in the trenches, that battle in the trenches, but that was the program's first win over Texas in Fayetteville in 40 years. And they stormed the field after the game. You had a great speech, I thought, in the locker room after the win. One of the things you told your team was that Arkansas fans can wake up on Sunday, quote, "You've given them an opportunity to be proud of the damn Arkansas Razorbacks," end quote. I mean, what's it mean to you and your players to have that support and then to repay it by giving the fans something they can be proud of? Because I know how proud and how fierce that fan base is.
You know, Jim, I'm so proud to be the head coach at Arkansas, and I really, really am. I grew up 75 miles from here. I wanted the Hogs to recruit me. They didn't, which Coach Holtz was right. I wouldn't have recruited me either, but I wanted to come here, and I know the passion because I have it, and our coaching staff has it, and we wanted our fans to wake up on a Sunday morning and have something to talk about besides, oh, man, the Hogs didn't play well, this, that, and the other. And our kids gave that to them. We gave back to them for helping us win because I really believe that they helped us in the win with the 76,000 people there.
See, Sam, the thing is, I mean, when you say, I love being the head coach here, I wanted this gig, a lot of coaches might have looked at the program and said, man, this is a brutal conference. That's an opportunity that's going to require a lot of work. I don't want that. I don't want that job. I don't want that challenge. Yet, as you just pointed out, you did want that. A lot of your former players wanted it for you as well. Why was that a job that appealed to you so much? And then what's it mean to have the support of so many former players?
Well, I love the state of Arkansas. I always have. As a matter of fact, Jim, my wife and I were going to retire in Hot Springs, Arkansas. We bought a lot down there getting ready to build before I got the head coaching job here. So I just love the water, the people. It's just a really, really neat state. For people that haven't been in the state of Arkansas, they ought to, you know, look at it, because there's a lot of nice places here and really good people. And, you know, the passion for the Hogs has been gone for a while. And I knew that any school that's won a national championship, they can get back to power. They can get back. And a lot of people go down and then come back up. And, you know, I know a lot of people didn't take the job for me to get it. I understand that. I didn't care if I was one or 100. I just wanted to come back here because I knew if you had passion for this program that you could eventually turn it around.
See, Sam, this is why everywhere you've been, players love you. And by the way, they don't like you. They love you. I can read one quote after another from players, parents over the years who love you. I know those relationships mean everything to you. I want to ask you, though, in some cases, when you get a gig like that, you've got players who played for a couple of coaching staffs and they had not seen a lot of success. It might be easy to say that the number one problem or priority is we got to get better players. You never said that. You never did that. You believed that these guys could have success quickly. Why was that?
Well, I just think that if you get a group of collective people together and you're rolling towards one vision, you can get better. Now, I didn't know we could win a national championship or anything like that, but I know we could get better with the players that we had. The first thing I told them is I know that they didn't choose me as their head coach, but I sure as hell chose them as, you know. And so I think that resonated with them a little bit. And then we never tried to run one person off. Nor did we try to keep anybody. If they wanted to get out, I said, hey, good luck to you. But we didn't try to run anybody off. We never talked about the previous head coach. We never talked about his team and my team, because the day that I got the head coaching job, it was our team, and we wanted every one of them.
And I love that. I love that. You sure as hell didn't choose me, but we chose you. And we didn't run anybody off, nor made anybody stay. There's one more interesting parallel, Sam Pittman, my guest, in the story that goes that you started roofing houses when you were young. Then you started doing things like building fences and mixing mud. And as you've said, quote, my dad would buy an old house and all of his kids would help fix it up. Some type of construction has been a big part of my whole life, end quote. Really interesting to me. Like, what were those days like and what did you learn from those experiences that help you now?
Oh, those days were awesome, Jim. But the bad part about it, every now and then, the old baseball game would get rained out. And when it did, you had to go work.
Right.
You know? And I was like, hey, I got a little Indian blood in me. And I was like, hey, no dancing. I didn't want any rained out baseball games because we'd have to go work. But my expertise was roofing. And so I roofed my way through college. I went to Pittsburgh State, and by the way, welcome to the jungle. That was we'd run out at Pittsburgh State. We were the Gorillas, and we'd run out to that song. So that was kind of cool, your intro song. But no, and we each one of us, there's five of us, and the girls were painters, and me and my brother were roofers and sheetrockers.
Absolutely amazing. So that stays with you until this day, and now you've got yourself a huge, huge win. What do you do, obviously, when a team has success? Sometimes success is more hard to deal with than failure. You've got Georgia Southern coming in. What's your message to your team this week?
I don't think a whole lot. Here's what happened last year. You know, we second game of the year, we beat Mississippi State on the road, and we hadn't won in, I don't know, a long time as an SEC game. Then we go to Auburn. And I don't know if you remember, but that we had there was a bad call at the end of the game at Auburn. Well, we rebounded. We played a good game at Auburn. Then we come home and we beat Ole Miss. So I think what we've done in the past where you could be pretty high and then get a low, I think we're not going to talk about any of that, to be honest with you. Our kids have a lot of pride. We know every week is so precious. I think we're going to be just fine. We're going to flush this game by about 3 o'clock this afternoon and get on to Georgia Southern.
There you go. I was just about to ask you, how long do you let them enjoy it? But by 3 o'clock this afternoon, he is the head football coach at Arkansas, second season there. And what a great win that was. What a great statement win too. A 40-21 beatdown of number 15 Texas on Saturday. Sam, great to have you on this show. I have to assume that it's not going to be the last time you and I have a conversation. Really nice to have you though. Thank you very much for doing that.
Oh, I hope it's not our last time. I've been watching you for a long time. You're so wonderful at your job. I appreciate your time.
My man, Sam, you're the best. I appreciate you saying that. And you are wonderful at your job, too. Sincerely and truly. What an absolutely awesome win for Arkansas. Emphatic. Just a beatdown of number 15 Texas. Hogs fans, how good did that feel? To his point, you could wake up the morning after and feel awesome about your program and about your team. And about being a longtime fan. You tell me, how does that feel? Also, clones, now that I have your attention, listen up. Not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned. Teriyaki, hot and spicy, and peppered. All come in 4-ounce bags so you can sample different flavors to find the very best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? How about Sam Pittman? Now you see why everybody loves him. Players, coaches, parents, you can see why. And what a great, great win for him and for that program. All right, when we come back, the Steelers coming up big in week one against Buffalo. Cornerback Cam Sutton will be joining us. And one more thing, I mentioned it last week. I never actually did a preview of it on this show. I'm still feeling really good about episode 188 of the Jim Rome podcast. It's still live right now. I mean, actually, they all go into the catalog, the library. But Marty Fish really showed up in a big way. I want to make sure you find your way to that as well. All right, 2 hours down. Third hour is coming up. Big week here in the jungle. Stay tuned. Cam Sutton joins me on the other side of this.